Amen. Please be seated if you're in the building. And let me add my welcome to that of Nathan's. My name's Tim. I'm one of the other pastors here. And we're going to get our Bibles open now. So hopefully you've brought one with you if you're here. Otherwise at home, please go grab one. And tonight we've got another kind of one-off interlude in before we kind of get to Christmas next week. Tonight we're in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. The story of Mary and Martha. Or Martha and Mary, whichever way you want. So just give you a moment to turn there, and then I'll read that for us. But Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We've already prayed, so let me begin by asking you a question. As we approach Christmas, what is the one needed thing? As we approach Christmas, what is the one needed thing? How would you answer that question? Now, perhaps for some of you would say, well, the one needed thing at Christmas is to get yourself a Christmas tree. Now, you might not be able to see this at home, but there is a Christmas tree here. I'm not just pointing into the distance. Hands up if anyone's got their Christmas tree up yet. Yeah, we've got ours up. I think, as Nate said earlier, I think it is something, Christmas does seem to be coming earlier this year, like where you might have put it up later on, that kind of thing. It's come earlier. Now, maybe you'd answer this question, you know, what one thing needed for Christmas? You might say, well, Michael Bublé's Christmas album. Anyone got that? Two other people, okay, well, just maybe the Lux listen to that then, fair enough. Maybe for you it's a turkey or having sprouts, or perhaps just seeing friends and family and as many people as you can shove into the bubble of three. Perhaps in the light of this year we've had of COVID pandemic, perhaps you might answer that the one needed thing this Christmas is a vaccine for all and the end of all these restrictions. And that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? That would be great. What is the one needed thing? Well, I don't know if you noticed, as I just read from Luke's Gospel, that our passage this evening is quite reminiscent of Christmas, I think. So you've got this coming of Jesus to start with. You've got preparations being made for visitors. You've got home opened. You've even got siblings squabbling. It oozes a little bit of Christmas. And yet whether now, as we are approaching Christmas, or really at any point in our life or any point in the year, Jesus tells us in this story the answer to the question, what is the one needed thing? In this story, Jesus declares to his disciples that the need to prioritize more than anything else is to listen to him. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Other things might be important or worthwhile or helpful, but Jesus says that listening to him is the one needed thing. This really is the big truth of our passage tonight. So firstly, what we're going to do is just kind of work our way through the story, just so you can all really clearly see that that's what it's saying. And then after that, we'll have a think about some of the implications. Listening to Jesus, listening to him is the one needed thing. Come back with me to Luke 10 and verse 38, back to the home of Mary and Martha. Now, it is quite a simple story, isn't it? Verse 38, Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road, and they're invited into Martha's home. And like any good host, she wants to make sure that she treats them well. See, whatever arrangements you've got coming up over the next couple of weeks, if you host someone, you want to make sure they have a good time, don't you? At least I hope that's what you want to do when someone comes round. You want to make sure they've got food and drink and perhaps some entertainment, that kind of thing. Now, for Martha and Mary, this is no ordinary guest. This is the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus. And so it's no wonder that Martha wants things to be great, is it? And yet, Mary doesn't really seem to share her burden, does she? While Martha is seemingly running around like a headless chicken, getting all these things ready, what's Mary doing? Look at verse 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, for a host to just kind of sit there and listen is a bit unusual, perhaps. And if you're anything like me, you can read this story and totally sympathize with Martha, can't you? You know, it's nice for Mary. She gets to sit down and have a little listen while I'm running around doing all the preparations. You know, nice for Mary to sit there, but who's going to do all the work? These jobs aren't just going to do themselves. We can't all sit on our bums listening to Jesus teach. Someone's got to do the work. Now, we'll get to what Martha says in a moment, but before she says anything, and it's not recorded for us, but you can kind of guess, have you been in this situation? You kind of want someone to notice all that you're doing? Perhaps Martha looks over to Mary and she kind of gives her the evil eye, you know, like looking over. Perhaps she's in the kitchen, she drops some of the pots and pans just to make some noise. Can you see how hard I'm working, Mary? We're not told. But clearly, if she does do any of that, none of that seems to work, does it? So she decides to interrupt Jesus in verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Lord, isn't it obvious that Mary should be helping me? I'm trying to get all these things ready for you. It's totally unfair. Now, at this point, if you're sympathizing with Martha, then perhaps you might expect an apology from Mary or Jesus to apologize on Mary's behalf. But we don't get that, do we? Why? Well, Jesus sees the situation differently. Now, one clue we get to Martha's mistake is in verse 40, where we're told that Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was distracted. It's not that the jobs weren't important. It's not that things didn't need to be done, but all the preparations had distracted her from the better thing about having Jesus come to their house. And that was to be with Jesus and to listen to his words. Now, if we'd missed that in verse 40, it becomes really clear in verse 41 because Jesus gently rebukes Martha. And I think it's gently. I don't think Jesus would have said these words harshly. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, Jesus says. You've got lots racing through your mind and your heart. You're worried about many things. But only one thing is needed, and it's what Mary's chosen. What's Mary chosen to do? She's chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he said. Both hearts are kind of in different places. Martha's so focused on serving, she's missed the one needed thing. She's missed spending time with the Savior. Just note as well that the word worried that's used to describe Martha here is the same word that comes up in the parable of the sower as Jesus describes people's different responses to the word of God. So Luke 8 verse 14 says this, the seed, that is the words of Jesus that fell among thorns, stands for those who hear, But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries. Martha then, in her busyness and her worries about all these things, at this point, models someone who is distracted and choked, as it were, by all the busyness of life, rather than choosing the one needed thing. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Hearing the words of Jesus is the one needed thing. Do you see that from our passage this evening? It's quite a simple point, isn't it? And that is the take-home message for us tonight. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Serving just like Martha was doing, it is not wrong in and of itself, is it? We know serving is good and right. Jesus calls his disciples to serve, but not at the expense of listening to him, spending time in his word. See, having walked through that story again, just do you feel more like a Mary tonight or a Martha? So I'm guessing, having spoken to lots of you this week, I'm guessing lots of us feel like a Martha, right? Lots of distractions. Life is full of distractions at the moment. This year's been full of distractions. What do we need to hear again tonight? Well, listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. And really, for the rest of our time, I just want us to think about two questions. Firstly, why? Why is listening to Jesus the one needed thing? And secondly, what's that going to look like in practice? What does being a Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus look like in a Martha world? So firstly, why is listening to Jesus the one needed thing? Well, the answer in simple terms is because of who Jesus is and what he's done. These are truths that Luke, the gospel writer, is so eager for us to get to as he writes this orderly account from beginning to end about the work, person and work of Jesus. If you were to read Luke through in one go, you would see how Jesus and his work of salvation just leaps off the page every time you turn. And we don't always do this, don't always spend time kind of hopping around in the scriptures, but tonight I just want to give you a glimpse of this. So I want to go to a couple of places. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you, but just so you can see what I mean. So let me start by reading some words from Luke chapter 1, which are words that we're going to hear probably a lot of times coming up to Christmas. In chapter 1, after the birth of John the Baptist, Zechariah, who's John the Baptist's dad, he says these words in praise to God about the Lord Jesus. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Turn the page, chapter 2. Listen to these words from Simeon. He's a man described as righteous and devout. He cast his eyes on Jesus when Jesus was a child, and he says this, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Why is listening to Jesus the one needed thing? Why should we prioritize listening to Jesus' words? Well, because of who he is. He is God's promised king who has come from heaven to earth to bring salvation, to reveal God to us, that we can have a relationship with him. Jesus says Mary's chosen better, and it won't be taken away from her because his words are eternal and lead to eternal life. Our busy world is temporary. Only a relationship with Jesus will last. That's why Mary has chosen what is better. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Now, what Zechariah and Simeon say of Jesus is of course, confirmed to us by the disciples who followed Jesus and listened to all that he said and spent so much time with him. Listen to these words from Peter, who's speaking on behalf of all the disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 20. He says to Jesus, "You are God's Messiah." They begin to understand who Jesus is. He's God's rescuing King, the one who came to seek and to save the lost, the one who brings salvation. And in case, as you're reading through Luke's gospel, you still don't get it, well, in 9:35, just a page before this, we hear God's voice. God speaks from a cloud and he says, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." God's directive is to listen to Jesus. It layers up as you go through Luke's gospel. Zechariah, Simeon, others, Peter, God, they all declare Jesus to be the one sent from heaven to reveal the truth of God and to save sinners. And this is all backed up in the life of Jesus. His words amazed all who heard him. People hung off his every word. He taught with one who had authority. His miracles backed up what he said. He drove, as it were, the curse of our world out. He's the reverser of the curse. And then just look back down in our passage to verse 38. See, it says, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. Where are they going? Where's Jesus heading to? Well, at this point in Luke's gospel, we're told in Luke 9:51 that Jesus has resolutely set himself, his face towards Jerusalem. He's heading to heaven via the cross. Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem to go to the cross, to suffer and to die. And it's a death that will result in victory over sin and death for all who will turn and trust in him. And what followed were his resurrection and ascension that results in his eternal glory and praise. Why listen to Jesus? Why is listening to Jesus the one needed thing? Well, because his words are life. Where else are we going to go to find the words of life? Why listen to Jesus? Well, because he is God's chosen King who reveals the truth of God to us. Because he's the only one who can save us from the judgment coming because of sin. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing because of who he is and what he's done. Now, to be clear, when we talk about listening, listening definitely involves action. So in a minute, don't get alarmed for a minute, but if in a minute I started shouting, "Fire, fire, please calmly make your way towards the exits." If you all sat there unmoved, then you might have heard what I said. You might have listened to the words that kind of fell out of my mouth. But you haven't really listened, have you? You haven't taken to heart the message that I'm saying. You haven't taken appropriate action. True listening in that situation would involve you moving. Unless, of course, you're watching at home and then you can kind of kick back and relax a little bit. Maybe pray for us. But real listening involves action and movement. Real listening to Jesus doesn't just mean hearing his words from the Bible, which all of us are experiencing this evening. Real listening is taking them to heart, acting upon them, building our lives upon them. And I could spend all evening just going through different places in Luke's gospel to illustrate that, but just two places. Jesus says in Luke 6, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built." In Luke 8, the parable of the sower, Jesus calls true listening as good soil. "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. And of course, listening is putting into practice the words that we hear. It's producing action prompted by the Spirit within us, Spirit of God. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Why? Because of who he is and what he has done. That's why Mary has chosen better. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And tonight we're called to imitate her because of who Jesus is and what he has done. We know that Martha loved the Lord Jesus, but here, the hearts of the two sisters are revealed. One is so distracted and not listening to Jesus because of all the serving they're doing for Jesus. But Mary is the model for us. She sits at the Lord's feet, kind of hanging on every word. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. And just for a minute, let's just pause. Let me ask you, do you believe that? Like, do you really believe that that's true? That listening to Jesus is the one needed thing? Now, I guess most of us would say yes. You know, we hear this afresh. We say, yes, of course it is. But it's hard, isn't it, at times? We know this is true. We know it's true to listen to Jesus, to act upon what he says with his help. But it's hard. It's difficult. We live in a busy Martha world. There's distractions left, right, and center. So what does it look like in practice? If listening to Jesus is the one needed thing, what does it look like for you and for me? Well, at this point, I do want to be cautious. I don't want to kind of just, as it were, set a list of things that you need to follow in order to do this. It's not like there's just one way or one way to answer this question that if we kind of correctly do, then we've ticked the box. The point Jesus is making here is about our heart attitude towards him and towards listening to his words. In all the busyness, Mary chose what was better. It was a deliberate choice, even at the cost of making her servant-hearted sister cross. Now, I guess one simple answer to what this looks like in practice is to make time to listen and engage with Jesus' words. That's why we believe church is so important, whether tuning in online at home or coming in person. That's why everything we do at church is centered around Jesus and his words. That's why all the groups we run, whether virtually or in person, is all about getting the Bible open, listening to what Jesus has to say. And so in practice, if listening to Jesus is the one needed thing, then prioritizing those times is essential. So where possible, coming along to church or keep coming along to church to hear the scriptures taught on Sundays, getting involved in grow groups or together or 3D where possible, and other places where the Bible is open so we can hear together the words of Jesus, to think on them, to pray them in, to act on them, to encourage one another with them. What would it look like on our own? Well, whether you're a morning person or an evening person or neither, setting aside time to read God's word is invaluable. Grabbing some Bible notes to help. Simply opening God's word and asking him by his spirit to help you understand, for him to reveal more of himself to you. These are good and right things that we should be doing if listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. And with both church and quiet times, especially in this season, it will probably look different for each of us, whether we come in person or watch online, whether you open your Bible in the morning or the evening, whether you have 10 minutes to spare or an hour. Some of us have more time than others. But only you and the Lord know how much of a priority it is for you. Friends, I've been really challenged this week thinking on this. And even now, I wonder how you're kind of processing, thinking through this. And you're listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Because if we're honest, if listening to Jesus is the one needed thing, then it shouldn't surprise us that we find it so hard at times, that we struggle with it. We have an enemy, the devil, who, as it were, loves to cut off communication with our Savior. And friends, we live in a Martha world, don't we? There's loads of things to do. There's loads of distractions everywhere. So even as I was thinking about this, it's great we have online services streamed. But if we're honest, it's not quite the same, is it, as gathering physically in person without the restrictions. It's easy to get into bad habits, pause to go to the loo, to answer the phone, to put the dinner on. And friends, none of that's sinful. I confess to at least once pausing myself on TV to go and get a drink. It's not wrong, but it can be a major distraction. We can fall into bad habits. Let me say at this point too, if you, Hats off to you parents. It's hard, isn't it, with young kids watching TV, trying to engage with what's being said. If you're at home and you've got kids running around, it's hard. And even when mine are entertained, they seem just to get entertained with the one noisy toy. And I'm sure even, you know, being in the building in person at the moment with all the restrictions, it's difficult. This past week, I've caught up with a number of church friends who, and maybe it's the same friends you met up with this morning, you mentioned, Nathan. You know, I've met up with a number of people who just said they're feeling flat. They're feeling weary in the race. They're struggling to have any quality time with the Lord. And if I'm honest, I've had those moments as well recently. Whether it's because of the darkness in the mornings or the kids running around. I've at times found myself distracted as I've Jesus' words in front of me and I'm distracted thinking about all the things that are ahead, all the things that have filled my to-do list. Friends, listening to Jesus can be hard work. But this is a reminder, an encouragement for us this evening. Please don't hear this as a just go home and to-do list. It's an encouragement for us. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. His words are eternal. His words are truth. He promises to help us by his Spirit. So keep going. If listening to Jesus is the one needed thing, then let's keep making it the number one thing. Let's prioritize it. Let's pray that this would be true for ourselves and for our church family. Let's encourage one another to this end, because at the end of the day, isn't it an immense privilege that we have Jesus' words in our own language, in our hands or mobile devices? Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. This week, this Christmas with all its distractions, like Mary, choose what is better. Be deliberate in making time to listen to Jesus' words. Not because in doing it, that's what saves us. Or not just so we can tick off a box, but because his words, in his words, we find life. We grow in hope of our future, our eternal relationship with Jesus. And because in his words, friends, we find encouragement to keep going, even when it is really tough, especially in this season. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Let me pause again. Why not just take a moment just to think on some of that. Reflect on how high a priority listening to Jesus is for you at the moment. And ask the Lord for his help to help you to persevere, that listening to Jesus really would be the one needed thing for you, for your friends, for your family, for this church family. Just take a moment. And let me lead us in a prayer. Listening to Jesus is the one needed thing. Lord, for many of us this evening, we know that that's true. And we thank you that we know it's true. And Father, we do pray that you would help us in this. Help us to prioritize the times and places where we can come and hear Jesus' word together. Help us in the quietness of our homes or works to find that time to listen to Jesus and his words. Father, we know that's what's best for us. We know we need to hear your words to help us to keep going. So Father, we pray that you would help us in that. And Father, perhaps for some watching tonight or some in the building here, that we pray that they would come to know that this is true. That in Jesus they would find all the riches and all the, that they'd come to meet their Savior through this. Father, your word describes itself as more precious than gold, sweeter than honey, a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. Your word is there to make us wise for salvation in Christ. Your word revives our souls in the weariest of times. Father, your word endures forever. Your word is a double-edged sword that penetrates our hearts and exposes our sin and leads us to our Savior Jesus. And so we pray, please, like Mary, we would choose what's better. Help us, please, this week, this Christmas, into the new year. May we choose more and more to spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Please help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.